And now it is part two of the book club. And I'm joined on the line by Reverend Paul Carr. So a very good morning.
Good morning to you.
Lovely to talk to you. We haven't seen you in the studio for a couple of years. You have been on my show before, haven't you?
I have, yes, a few years ago. I'm a regular with Patrick.
Yes.
Both on his Friday night, and I was on one of his Friday afternoon shows as well. Always nice to be asked, so thank you very much.
So it's Christmas time. So tell us about what it's like at the Emmanuel Church at this time of year. It must be very, very busy.
Well, it isn't. It isn't. I think the uncertainty of this latest variant, will things be happening? Will events not be? Will people attend? It's been quite a strange time, not just for churches, for businesses, for people planning their Christmases. So we haven't had as many events as I would normally put on, simply because the uncertainty means that some people wouldn't attend. But still being busy with schools. I've had about 1,200, 1,300 children and parents through last week for school events. Some schools cancelled, which is just the way it is. We got nearly 400 children and parents booked in for our Christingle services on Christmas Eve. We have a Christmas Eve communion, Christmas Day communion. So lots of the essential services happening. And we put a couple of things online. We just released a 9 lessons and carols, a virtual carol service, if you like, online on our website this morning. I did a self-led longest night service yesterday. So still trying to have this hybrid mix of what we call on-site, online, and offline. I think that's the way people are engaging with church nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it really has kind of kicked in with people having Zoom meetings and being able to doing stuff live. And do you think that's encouraged more people into the church, that you're now sort of online and you've got that online presence?
I think it does. Certainly when there was a total lockdown last year, I think the something like 40% of all adults had accessed online church. And that's an amazing statistic nationally. And I think people were looking for some of the answers to the questions they have about life and death, about the uncertainty of where we are. And of course, as lockdown sort of relaxed, attendance numbers online reduced. I think what it does do, it's those who were too shy or too nervous about coming to church can still access church, which is a good thing. I think those who are working and perhaps are self-isolating and are unwell can still engage with church, whether it's live or whether they catch up later on in the week. So, I mean, Emmanuel, Emmanuel was a vaccination centre for several months last year. I spent a couple of hours a day just talking with people. It was amazing how many people who I didn't know said, oh, we do church this week. Oh, it's good, wasn't it? I think it has enabled people to engage with church and particularly the Christian faith much more than they would have done before. I think the challenge is, Michelle, how do we engage with those people that we don't know, those who want to be anonymous, those who are sitting on the sofa behind the back row in church, if you like? It's difficult to make contact with them unless they make contact with us, where if people are attending physically, then at least you can have that conversation. You can give them a personal invite. You can pass on some information to them. So I think that's the dilemma at the moment. And to be honest, I think, I mean, we have an 8:30 service, which is very traditional, but our 10:30 service, what we've been live streaming for about 18 months, we've gone from one congregation to three, which, as I said earlier, have the online, the on-site, those who are there physically. Mm. We have the online, those who are watching it live, and we have the offline, those who are catching up. So the challenge, I think, is how do we connect with them in their faith and in their journey in a way that we would if people were there with us physically. I'm still questioning all of that, if I'm honest.
With your sermons, I mean, they're obviously really important because you're the main sort of focal point when people come into the church. How do you pick out the subjects? How do you actually do that? Because it's obviously you want to keep people interested and engaged, and it is a lot to do with whoever is running the church.
Absolutely. I think it is about engaging people with faith. And it's interesting because some people would suggest that preaching is an old-fashioned thing and that it doesn't really connect with people nowadays. But I think if you have something to say that has value and has depth, then people will listen. And one of the interesting bits of research that was carried out 3 or 4 years ago said that churches who have what you might call a strong preaching ministry are growing and keeping their numbers because people want to be taught, they want to hear, they want to learn about faith. So I think if you have something to say, people will be interested in what you have to say. And I think it's also about how does that apply to my life? Is there something I can do on a Monday when I get to work, which is a response to what I've heard in church yesterday? And is there a small way that I can change my life or implement something that I've heard from the Bible? And of course, the answer would be yes, but people need to sort of see that for themselves. So I think it is about, firstly, about having something that's interesting, that's engaging, that connects with people's lives. But I mean, we have a pattern where over a year, I may do something from the Old Testament, I may do something from the New Testament as a series, as a theme. We may do something that Jesus said as a theme. So we're trying to mix it with, as I say, you know, the whole of the Bible, rather than just keeping to, say, the Gospels, for example, the first 4 books of the New Testament, which some people would preach on those continually, but you're not really getting the breadth and the depth, I don't think, of what the Bible has to say. So certainly my preference has always been to have a mixture, old and new, some of the words of Jesus, which are very important and dynamic, and something thematic. So for example, last year, when we were really struggling in terms of where do we go, how do we exist in a COVID pandemic world, we looked at words of hope from the Bible, and we looked at God's promises in the Psalms, and we looked at Jesus' words through the parables. So, you know, sermon series that would give us encouragement, would enable us to be optimistic as Christians, and hopefully that will spill over into our optimism in living in a pandemic world. So it's about trying to engage with where we are in society, particularly these last 18 months, but how the Bible and how a preaching ministry can engage with people in that situation.
Answered so wonderfully. Thank you very much, Mr. Paul Carr there. Now, I just wanted to talk to you about music, because you are a music lover. How's that been going for you this year? Because you sometimes have lots of different musicians and all sorts of things going on.
I have. Well, pre-lockdown, I would organise an event a month. Sometimes that would be, I've got loads of churches, but either in Emmanuel Church or down at St. Mary's Church in the High Street. I've had gigs and events in my garden. I would do a house gig, an intimate gig for about 35 people in my lounge. And so we've done maybe 10, 12, sometimes 15 musical events a year, going back several years. And of course, lockdown put paid to all of that. I did have my gig in the garden in the summer, which ended up being in Emmanuel because it was chucking it down with rain.
Yep.
But I had a local girl, Georgia Crandon, who I'm sure you're aware of. Had another guy from Liverpool, Joe Slater, and Robert Vincent, who was an Americana UK winner. And just on Sunday evening gone, I had a girl called Lauren Housley, who's from Rotherham. She's an Americana UK award winner this year as well. And but numbers were low for that. I think people are still quite nervous and anxious about where we go. So I could still put on numerous events. I've got artists on a waiting list to come back when we can.
Yeah.
But at the moment, that's really uncertain. I do have Lindisfarne booked. The Lindisfarne story for April.
Yep.
Coming up, which is just telling the story of Lindisfarne. They've been around 50 years. This year, so that could be an interesting game. I've sold a quarter of my tickets already, so I'm hoping by April the restrictions about lockdown and numbers and all sorts of things will be much more relaxed than they are at the moment. And I think it's a case of what's this space. I'm in contact with Cara Dillon at the moment, who's an Irish sort of folk singer. Seen her a couple of times recently. She's brilliant, but again, it's really difficult to pin artists down because of the uncertainty of will events happen. And I know the West End, pretty much all of the theatres are closing now. A lot of events have been cancelled, so really difficult to do that. But I'm still listening to new music, still going to gigs as and when I can, and it's a great joy for me, and I get to meet people who don't have anything to do with the church.
Yeah.
Which is, not that there's anything wrong with Christians, don't get me wrong, but it's easy for clergy to become very narrow in their social life. And so putting events on, I meet a lot of people who have become great friends over the years, and it's through music, so that's been a great outlet for me as well.
And now, finally, as we lead up to Christmas, which has been a difficult time for many people this year, as you know, what would be your Christmas message?
Well, I think the Christmas message is always a one of hope. We believe that Jesus was sent into the world to bridge the gap between man and God, to give us hope, to give us life, to give us purpose, and to give us meaning. And whether Christmas is in lockdown or not, those elements of the Christmas story are never taken away. And I think our faith can be strengthened at Christmas. I think how we love one another can be renewed. I think, as I say, the purpose and meaning in our lives can come across stronger. So I would want to encourage people to think afresh about the Christmas story. We know it inside out, upside down. But let's just go dig a bit deeper. What does it mean for me? What is Jesus? Do I believe that Jesus came to be my Savior? Do I believe that he came to touch my heart and to change my life? And I think if people do that, they will find that actually the answer to all of those questions is yes. And Christmas can be something very different, looking closer at the Christmas story rather than Christmas parties and family gatherings and all of that, which are not bad things. But I would just say, get back to the Christmas story and see that the hope and the purpose that Jesus brings in our lives, not just for Christmas, but for all year round.